Time now to bring along one of my favorite broadcasters, Tom Joyner. Tom, there's a lot going on today. The news is so complicated because we hear about fake news, news that has no validity in it whatsoever. And the American people are waking up, though, and I'm proud to see that a lot of people are waking up, and they're thanks to people like you who give them the unadulterated truth that they are waking up. So, John, I give let me tell my good friend here that we bring him in again. Tom Joyner, I'm very happy to bring you to the airwaves of WTSB.
Well, Carl, L. Hunt of The Guardian asked the question of what is fake news? We hear that term used often, but most people are not sure what it means. The most famous example of a fake news story involved December 4th's 2016 report when a man from North Carolina opened fire in a Washington pizzeria named Comet Ping Pong, which online stories had reported as the headquarters of a child sex ring being run by Hillary Clinton. This was a false news story, disguised as real news, and many people came to believe it. And that led to the arguments that Clinton had won the election because she gained the most popular votes. That, of course, has been proven to be false as well. She did, in fact, win the popular vote. And that claim was repeated again and again on the mainstream media. But the truth is that Clinton's overwhelming number of voters in California were the difference in the popular vote, unless we are content to let the liberal voters of La La Land decide the presidency. The claim about Clinton winning the popular vote is bogus. A recent study carried out by Stanford's Graduate School of Education assessed more than 7,800 responses from middle school, high school, and college students in 12 U.S. states on their ability to assess information sources. They were stunned because the students simply couldn't figure out what they were watching. They didn't have a basic level of distinguishing advertisements from real articles. And that's a result of the dumbing down of students in our union-driven education system. In its purest form, fake news is completely made up, manipulated to resemble credible journalism, and to attract the maximum attention, and with it, advertising revenue. Examples of fake news that have been put out include these: that Pope Francis was at the White House saying that the Quran and the Bible are the same, it never happened. Or U2's Bono being rescued during a terror attack, that never happened either. Hosted on websites that often followed design conventions on online news media with titles such as Civic Tribute or Life Event Web give the semblance of legitimacy. The stories are geared to travel on social media. With clicks on these sites come profits. A man running a string of fake news sites from Los Angeles told National Public Radio that he made as much as $33,000 a month from advertising that rewards high traffic on the Internet. Soon, Facebook will start to flag stories of questionable truth with an alert that says, disputed by third-party fact checkers. Now, if the first you've heard of a particular event is from a website you've never heard of, there's going to be a reason for that. Be skeptical of stories about Trump, Clinton, the Pope, Kim Kardashian, and Justin Bieber, and particularly of stories about any of them who are pledging allegiance to ISIS. Much as it might depress you to think in such terms, you are an influencer within your own social network. Only post or share stories you know to be true from sources you know to be responsible. Fake news is not commentary that never purported to be straight news in the first place. Fake news is not political speech that someone doesn't happen to agree with. No, Fake news is malicious, false information that somehow becomes credible, most often through the promotion of a major political or media figure. Now, times continue to change in America. I'll cite my own commentaries as an example. My Monday commentaries run approximately 45 minutes each. Each one is thoroughly researched because I value my credibility. That job, though, has become far much more difficult in recent years as the Internet becomes more commonly used. For each 45-minute commentary that I deliver on Monday, it takes anywhere from 15 to 30 hours of research to ferret out truth from fiction. Many Internet sites cannot be trusted, and so it's necessary for me to vet them carefully, to compare on-site reports to the same report on others, or not available at any other source. It's painstakingly slow, but totally necessary. The audience for my commentaries is very important to me, just as my decades of talk radio audiences have been. When you're a conservative commentator, the liberal community looks for ways to question your credibility. Such scrutiny does not apply to liberal commentary. People like Rachel Maddow and Al Sharpton throw out misleading information like popcorn at a parade. The liberal mainstream media is different from commentators. They are charged with being truthful in their news reporting. Theirs is a responsibility to deliver the who, what, when, and where of the news, and not distort it by personal opinions. In the past 30 years, they have violated the trust of the American people by letting their personal opinions masquerade as real news in increasingly larger numbers. So-called newscasters like Brian Williams and Dan Rather blatantly violated our trust, and they are not alone. Fake news is also generated when people like Hillary Clinton make false claims in order to ingratiate themselves with an audience. An example is when Hillary stood before the cameras and told the nation about her peril in being under fire in Bosnia as she exited her plane. She made a big issue of it that was later totally discredited. She also spread false news by telling the families of the Benghazi victims that the deaths of their loved ones was caused by a videotape, when she had already acknowledged to the president of Egypt and her daughter Chelsea that she knew this was a terrorist attack and that it had nothing to do with a video. That, my friends, is fake news. Having been a pioneer in fake news, it was interesting to see Hillary Clinton attack fake news as a source of her defeat in the presidential election. The real news is what wrecked Clinton's bid for the White House. Rest assured that fake news will continue to be spread on the Internet. The best thing we can do is doubt a story until it's proven to be true. Don't just react to headlines. None of us is immune from mistakes based on fake news. It's all around us, on the Internet, in our newspapers, and on the airways. So find sources you can trust by checking the information they give you and lean on the sources for your information that you find to be truthful. Let's turn now to two other subjects. One, the repeal of Obamacare, which Democrats are fighting in order to please Barack Obama and protect his so-called legacy. First of all, Donald Trump is Obama's legacy. Trump won the White House because the American people had grown tired of the lies and corruption in liberal Democrat ranks. That party showed total arrogance in supporting a candidate in Hillary Clinton whose entire life was based on lies and deception. The public saw Clinton for what she was, a dishonest, ethics-challenged candidate who possessed a personality that only a mother could love. It wasn't the popularity of Donald Trump so much, but the unpopularity of Hillary Clinton that gave the Republicans the Oval Office. Next, Obamacare was never designed to cure the health care needs of the American people. It was a document of some 2,000 pages, which were never read by more than a handful of congressional members before voting to approve it. Unable to get a government-mandated health care system approved, the Obama administration pressed for a system that they knew was flawed. Obamacare, they knew, would implode upon itself in 2017, after Obama was safely out of office and Hillary Clinton was in power. When that implosion occurred, it would be fairly easy for Clinton to push through legislation that would turn over our health care to the government, something she tried to do while her husband was president. The election of Donald Trump derailed that freight train. Suddenly, Democrats are faced with a dying Obamacare system and nobody in power who could give all Americans the same level of inferior care that our veterans receive under the government-run Veterans Administration. A major disaster. To try and stop the repeal of Obamacare, Democrats falsely claim that the Republicans have nothing to substitute for the failed system. That's false. They know it to be false. Nobody is going to lose benefits from Obamacare before the new health care system is installed. The Trump administration is refusing to be hustled into a knee-jerk plan by Democrats whining about their lost power. Now, let me comment briefly on a picture that Missouri Democrat Lacey Clay has hung in the Capitol hallway. It depicts Ferguson, Missouri, by showing a policeman pointing a gun at a crowd. The policeman is shown as a pig. Now, the halls of Congress belong to the American people, not demagogues like Lacey Clay. There is no place in those halls for false depictions of our police. For one thing, pigs are offensive to Muslims. Is Clay not being offensive to Muslims? And why is the ACLU not on top of this offensive action? There was no hands-up, don't-shoot action in Ferguson, and Lacey Clay knows it. There was no pig in a police uniform involved, and Clay knows that as well. If he wants to delude himself by hanging this picture in his office, that's his privilege under free speech. But hanging it in public, in the halls of Congress, is not free speech. It is promoting anarchy with a lie. Next, we turn to the attacks against Vladimir Putin and his Russian government. Democrats are all over the news demanding greater sanctions against Russia for hacking into John Podesta's computer and causing the lies and corruption of the Democrat National Committee, and Hillary Clinton herself to be proven to the American public. Here's the real story. It wasn't the hacking of Russia that cost Clinton the Oval Office. She, by those hacks, did prove herself to be corrupt. That was the real story, not what the Russians did, but who told on them. That was the astonishing reaction. And even some Republicans like Lindsey Graham have picked it up and run with it. Punishing Russia in the media is counterproductive. Any such actions should be conducted in private by the next president, not the one leaving office in just a few days. Whatever actions America takes against Russia for attempting to interfere with our election should be measured and relayed to Putin by Donald Trump as commander-in-chief. To seek retaliation on Russia is nonsensical. They should be called to account for those actions. But we must remember that Russia is a major power in the world, and they have ways, too, to counterattack us. Do we really want to conduct this sensitive business through the media? Russia has been called a bear. Do you think it's helpful to poke that bear in public? And lastly today, I hope to have my latest book in publication by the third quarter of this year. As a part of that book, I intend to publish comments from those whose lives I may have touched in some way, from former employees of my companies to relatives, friends, and the general public who want to be included in the book. Those comments can be sent to me by email at comments@tomjoyner.net. Or listeners to my commentaries can drop off their comments at the WTSB studios. I hope that many of you will bring human interest appeal to my book by your comments. All of us have lived lives that have been affected by others around us. I've done my best for 53 years in broadcasting to earn the trust of my listeners, and I've tried to help others along the way who I found in need. If you're one of those who have appreciated my work or my help, I hope you'll join with me in the writing of this last book. Again, send your comments to comments@tomjoyner.net or drop off your comments at the studios of WTSB. As Andy Griffith used to say, I appreciate it. Carl?
Yes, sir. Well, thank you very much, Tom, for your great wisdom and your great commentary today. Anything else that you have to say today, I would like for you to come back in and say it. But you've said it very well today. You've said it very eloquently, and I certainly got a great enjoyment out of what you said to us today. And I think the American people are beginning to wake up thanks to people like Tom Joyner.
Well, thank you, Carl. I am disturbed and bothered by this fake news that's floating around, and it's becoming more and more prevalent. We see it on television. Here's the difference. I want people to understand the difference between a news reporter. A news reporter, for instance, like the anchors of network news, and a commentator. When you are a commentator, which is what I am doing now, I have been in the news business, and when I was in it, I did not allow my personal opinions to interfere. But I am a commentator, like many others, like Bill O'Reilly, for instance, like Sean Hannity. I am a commentator, and my comments are not pretending to be the news. I speak of the news, and I try to do it without bias. But my thoughts are my thoughts alone. You can agree with them or not agree with them, but I don't come on and tell you, look, this is absolutely the way it is, and you are supposed to believe it because I'm a news reporter. There's a huge difference between news reporters and commentators like O'Reilly, Hannity, or Rush Limbaugh, or even myself. A huge difference. And so we've got to learn to ferret out what is news and what's not news, what's being put to us to form a bias in our own minds. You know, I speak a good bit about the Democrats. It's the national Democrats, particularly the National Democrat Party, that I am speaking of. I know so many good Democrats, conservative Democrats, particularly here in North Carolina. And so I'm not unloading on you at all. It's those who are subverting the party. It's those who have, as they say, hijacked the party and taken it to the extreme far left of the Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren faction. That's the problems that I keep calling attention to. And I hope that if you are a Democrat, you'll continue to listen and will continue to understand I'm not talking about you unless you are on the far left and falling for that rhetoric from the far left. I just want to make that clear because I'm not a Republican. I'm an independent. I try to be in the middle, and I find fault with Republicans just as I do with National Democrats. But it's important to distinguish between the two. And Carla, for some reason, I know you were just coming off of a really bad cold. Chris was out for about 9 days with his. I've had the flu shots and all of that, but I can hear my voice becoming a little bit strained. So I'm going to watch it over the next few days, and I'll be ready on Monday when the time comes to fire away.
Okay. Well, the thing that kind of got me straightened out, Brother Tom, was a Z-Pak given to me by my physician, and maybe a Z-Pak is what's in order.
Well, I'm going to call on Dr. Jacobs, my physician, today. for that. But, you know, it was interesting that Mark Twain had a remedy that he put forth. And he said when he got sick, he was told to drink a pint of whiskey. And he said somebody else told him the same thing. And so now he was getting up to around a quart. And that was his remedy.
Well, yes, sir. Mark Twain, one of the great humorists of all time.
Indeed.
I heard something last night. Let's see if I can remember that I'll talk to you about. Let's see. It's about, so much going on I can't even think straight today. We got John B. Wells coming up in about 8 or 10 minutes. So,
oh, good.
Thank you for your commentary today. I wish I could think of what it was. Every time I want to think of something to say, but I heard it last night and I wanted to be sure to remember. I'll ask you about it. I may call you up about it.
That'll be fine. It's called a senior moment, Carl. And all of us, once we pass 60, 70 years old, begin to have them come more frequently to us.
Amen. Well, thank you, Tom. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Carl, and God bless America.